All right, good morning and welcome. Hope everybody's doing fine and dandy. I think we got everybody out of the parking lot. Good to see everybody today. It's kind of warm out today. Humid?
Yes, it is.
But we're going to work up a sweat here inside. We're going to have a good time. Good to see everybody. I think I just started picking out songs. I thought, man, these are good. These are good. These are good. I don't know if any of you like them or not, but I like every one of these. So we're going to bounce a couple, and then we'll get into some more reverent ones. What are you gonna do back there? Here we go.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace in the mansions.
Take a breath. Breather.
I bet you don't run around the block, do you?
Well, I get my exercise during the commercials. From the recliner to the refrigerator and back. And I'm starting to double my exercise because at my age, it's now to the recliner, to the refrigerator, to the bathroom and back. You know? So it's doubling my exercise, my square footage, and my total steps to take. All right. Got a few announcements we want to share with you, and then we'll sing kind of some of the slower ones. I love this next one that's coming up. There's some good ones that we're going to have a good time with. Thank you all for that was on the business meeting, church conference, Wednesday night. That was good. If we had a couple people that didn't mute, so I tried to figure out how to individually mute, and I couldn't, and then I hit mute all, because they were having conversations that may not should have been the people in their house and not with us. And then I couldn't unmute anybody to, if you had a question or a thought, and I tried to get that done, and so I apologize if that was any of you. I know it was some of you. I got several texts. I'm trying to mute or unmute, and I couldn't get it either. So, but anyway, it worked out well. Thank you for, I apologize for that, but thanks for being there and being part. God's just blessing us as a church. Things are going well back here. We have a new, I wasn't planning on this, but we have a new pond. See, we're going to have to call the new pond out here in front of the building where they dug for the driveway. It's a new pond, so it is full. So you do not want to go back there today because it's next week, to my knowledge, these are going to be taken out. They're going to start boring a hole through the wall. Eventually, probably we will move. We will have that plywood back up. And then a couple weeks after that, we'll be able to get into the building from this direction. So we don't have to go through this way. So we're getting close to that. But just thank you for all your support, your love, your questions, and your prayers. We would always ask for you to continue to pray for that whole project and everybody that's working on it out there. I gave an update, and I have no other updates than what I gave Wednesday night. So it was really a repeat from last Sunday, so no need to go into those. We have a nice thank you card, thank you letter from Karen here. And Karen is here with us today in the front row, so good to have you here, Karen, and be praying for them and their family. Charlie, you just got out of the hospital yesterday?
He's here today.
Yesterday, okay, and you're here today?
Yeah.
Okay.
In and out so much.
Yeah. And you're getting ready to go see the doctor or go back to the hospital tomorrow, so you're doing something. Be praying for Carol. She was supposed to have the heart procedure, and she didn't because she really wasn't feeling great. So she's praying that they can reschedule that. Always a lot of prayers. Here in a minute, we're going to have a song that's going to kind of gear us towards that. Sweet Hour of Prayer, and we'll get around that corner here real quick. But I like this one. In loving kindness, Jesus came.
In loving kindness, Jesus came. My soul in blue sea to reclaim, and from the depths of sin and shame, to grace He lifted me.
Come forward. Take up the morning offering. You up? We are telecasting. We are there. We're doing it all from right there. Look at there. Look up. Isn't that neat? So there's a camera there. There's a camera over here. And I don't know if there's any others or not, but we're back there on the screen. So if you want to see what we look like, we're back there on that screen. And this is kind of a test of what we're going to be doing in the new building. So there'll be three or four different angles there. And I thought I got him this morning.
Yeah, those cameras look good.
Yeah, and I think the quality is a lot better than what you're getting off the webcam that we got here. And I'm going to look for Michael to give me a thumbs up or down, but I think in the even in the new building, the quality is going to even step up another notch or two. So you can actually get on. The best way to do it now is to get on the Faith Springs webpage, the church webpage. It's running live right now. It's running live, I believe, on YouTube. It's running live probably through the Shattered by the Darkness page. It's still on BBS Radio. And the reason I'm running that link through there is because we have 2,000 to 4,000 people that watch through that every Sunday. That's not part of us, that are around the country, around the world, and I hate to just cut them off and say sorry. So we're going to keep doing that for a while. Maybe when we get in the bigger building, we'll come up with a more creative way to incorporate all of that together. But I like Michael and what Michael and Curtis have done, and this is working out well. So, can you zoom in with this camera, Michael? You can? Uh-oh. Well, don't zoom in too close. I didn't get much sleep, so you don't want to see the dark circles over mine. All right, Jack Manley, I'm going to ask you. You come right up here. You ask about the camera, so I'm going to put you in front. Get up here and turn around and
teach him.
Jack wanted everybody to see his name.
Yeah.
So everybody in the world knows who this is. This is Jack. If you would lead us in a word of prayer, bless the offering.
Father, we come to you thanking you for what you've richly blessed us with. The good rain we got this week, the beautiful sunshine today, the happiness, the smiles, and the voices and the faces that we see today as our friends and family get together. We thank you for that privilege that you've blessed us with in our country. And we pray that you continue to bless our church, bless its needs, meet its needs. Give us wisdom in all that we say and we do. And we'll give you the praise for it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello.
as you're singing that, you're sitting there reading those words, and you go, can you imagine being in heaven and just cornering Lazarus and say, hey, tell me the story again. Tell me the story one more time. What was it like when you was dead and you heard the voice? Come on out. What did that feel like? What was that all about? Tell me. And I just love that no matter how many times I get into God's Word, I see something new in it. And I think it's just going to be awesome to be able to just tell those stories over and over. I think one day we'll have a Jesse Day, and we can all say, hey, Jesse's going to tell all those stories that we heard 100 times before, but he's going to do it up in Hallelujah Boulevard there at the corner of there in Victory Lane. Go on up there and just listen to Jesse, and he'll be just like he used to do with the kids at the park. He'd sit there, and we'd just all sit around him. And I don't know if they'll get any windier than what they were when they're here, but just to hear those stories again. I can't wait until my Uncle Ray can sit down and tell me all those stories that he used to tell me when I was a kid. All those people that have gone on before. But most importantly, we're going to get to see Jesus and him tell the story. Of this is what I had written, but this is what it so much meant. So much more than what you could imagine. I can't wait. I can't wait to be a child again in Sunday school and having that excitement of rushing in to have a Jean or Shirley or Jane or to open up the Bible and say, this is what we're going to talk about today. But to see that in real life and experience that, Kelly, in real life is absolutely unbelievable. I think there's words that we read in the Bible that we say, yeah, that's what it says, but by his stripes we are healed. Whatever you ask, I'll give it to you. Some of those, yeah, but, you know. I think it's going to be awesome to have the Holy Spirit be able to tell us, this is what it said, and this is what it is. And we meant what it said. That's going to be awesome. With those thoughts in mind, I get so excited that I haven't had a jalapeno kolache this morning. So this is God. I love family that believes in God and the miracles can still happen. Look around, folks. A lot of you are walking miracles today. A lot of you shouldn't be here. A lot of you already had you. With dirt on you. We were already, oh, well, they're not going to make it. And here you are still. I want to come to you right now and let you know that if there's a prayer need, a prayer request, a hurt, a pain, a stress factor, some anxiety in your life, some just negativity that's going on in your world and you just can't get past it, I got the medicine for you. It's called prayer. So whatever you're feeling this morning, whatever you're stressed over, whatever you're aggravated about, whatever you just don't feel good about, don't start getting COVID excited here, but there's a lot of just crud going around. It has nothing to do with COVID. It's just people having, it's kind of like a 24-hour thing. Anybody, you know, everybody's had that? It seems like I know a lot of people. Maybe they're just calling in sick a lot. I don't know, but it seems like a lot of people are coming down with that. But whatever it is, I just want to lift you up in prayer. So if we can be honest enough to just say, hey, when you pray, think of me. And before I even look up to y'all, I'm going to raise my hand. When you pray this week, today, think of me. I need all the prayer I can get. I need that. Just on this side of the room. Anybody just want to be lifted up in prayer as we pray today? Okay, we got quite a few. There's about 60% of you. How about this section here? Okay, yeah, absolutely. Okay, anybody in this section? Okay, fantastic. I want you to see this. How about here? Right here. That was 100%. Congratulations. How about the choir loft? I call this the choir loft back there. Y'all did okay? We got two hands back there with Debbie. Dear Lord, we enter into your presence believing your word to be true. Lord, I know there's people in this room just by the signifying of them raising their hands that needs a touch, that needs a healing, that needs an attitude adjustment, that needs some positivity, that needs some fuel to get them through what they're dealing with right now. A coping pill. A hug. The feel of your presence. Lord, let that happen right now inside of their spirit. Lord, the ones that are listening online and listening even next week and the weeks after, Lord, we lift them up to you also, because you know everybody that hears this, people that accidentally logged on and didn't even mean to get to us are listening right now, and it's because it was a divine appointment for them to listen right now. Encourage them, touch them, touch our church family, bless us. Lord, I not only want to feel your presence, I want to inhale your air. I want to smell what you smell like. Be that close to us. And we turn all of these needs over to you. And Lord, may we try to promise not to pick them back up and take them home with us. But Lord, I want to leave it at your feet, because you're the one that has the power to control it and to take care of it. And we give you praise in advance of answering all of our prayers, and Lord, letting us feel your presence as we speak right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Continue in the mode of prayer as we sing, "Sweet, sweet hour of prayer. Oh. was having church this morning early, and thought, wait, I don't have time for all of those. So we'll just pick out a few of the portions that I like the best and throw in there and make a little melody laugh or whatever you want to call it. Boy, God's good. I just love singing praises to Him. Feel free to get out your sweat towel and blot your head, your nose. God is good. There's days that I just don't want to talk. I just want to hush and just listen to Him. I know what you say. Well, he didn't have any sermon notes this morning. He didn't want to preach. That's not at all. There's just some days that, man, you feel the Spirit and you can cut it with a knife. Oh, you want to find in your Bibles Numbers, if you would. We're going to eventually get there. I want to kind of talk to you about what we talked about last week, and we'll try to finish this up. Been a busy week. Crazy busy. Had a blessing of a restaurant this week that I got to go do, and we'll tell about that a little bit later when they give me permission to tell you all about that. But I'll tell you what, we're going to have a big time at that restaurant. One of our members is opening up a restaurant. Now that just got you all, you're all going to be now gossiping. Who's he talking about? Well, no, I'm opening up a weenie shop. It's me. No, it's not. If I open up one, it'd be a hot dog stand, though. That's about the only thing I could cook. For years, I asked my mom, how do you cook a hot dog? And she said, same way you do a fish. I said, well, no, but once you gut those weenies, there ain't nothing left. Okay, never mind. Never mind. You know, where there is no vision, we talked about that last week, and you finished the verse for me. When there is no vision, people perish. We know that. And we talked last week a little bit about what an unclear vision leads to in our life. And it was indecision, division, and collision. And 1 Timothy 1:19, some people are refused to let their faith guide their conscience, and their faith has been destroyed like a wrecked ship. And now we want to kind of shift to what Jesus has to say about the vision in a verse, and then we're going to talk about how we're going to see this in a story in the Old Testament, obviously in Numbers. But I don't know if anybody's like me. I hope not. But on Easter weekend, I love watching the Ten Commandments. I don't know why ABC plays the Ten Commandments every Easter weekend, because it has really nothing to do with Easter. But they have for years. So I know every Easter weekend I'm always watching the Ten Commandments. I just love that show. And I can watch that. And I remember seeing that at the movie theater with my grandma. And I think it had to be something the church did or something, because I wasn't born yet when it actually came out. But I remember seeing that at the movie theaters, and the preacher came out and preached during the intermission before we watched the second half. But I love that movie. We're going to talk about that Exodus for a second when we talk about vision. But if you want to hold in Numbers, and I think Numbers are going to be around chapter 13 in that area is where we're going to end up landing. So you may want to just put a little bookmark there. But in Matthew 6, we'll get back to Numbers. But I want to throw out this verse in Matthew 6:22. I like the way Jesus talks about our vision. How he talks about the ability to be able to see and the what happens when we're blind. So Matthew 6, 22 and 23, if you're there, say, oh yeah. And it goes like this. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body is going to be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, other versions of this say, and we're going to talk about this in more detail later, in 2 or 3 weeks. Your eyes are like the lamp of your body. If your eyes are open and good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your vision is bad, your whole life will be full of darkness. So there's something there that tells me that Jesus is saying that if you don't really see things clearly, if everything's kind of blurry and foggy and nothing is coming to clarity in your life, I don't want to hammer too hard, but if you don't have vision, you're going to have wrong attitudes. You're going to have wrong decisions. You're going to have a roadmap in front of you that's not the roadmap that God wants to bless. And God has so much more in store. So if we have a limited vision, maybe I can get you to agree to this. If we have a limited vision with our relationship with God, will you grant me the truth of this next sentence? If you have limited vision with God, then we in turn aren't seeing all the beauty that God has in store for us. Will you give me that one? So if you're in darkness, you can't see the good things. That kind of covers up what God has in store. That's why I think so many times, so many things, so many ways, people, things, happenstances, if you want to believe in those, will come into your life and it starts to fog up our vision of what God has for us. And I think our job as Christian family is to every now and then do a spiritual Windex on us. And I need to get this every now and then. Gordon needs to come up to me every now and then and say, hey, let me see your glasses. And spray it down, because you have really seen nothing but negative, Greg, for the last 2 weeks. We need to clear up your vision a little bit. You've been there, done that? You just get in that mode of... And it's almost... And I hate to admit it because I'm talking about myself sometimes. It's almost like I'm a pouty kid. I didn't get my way, God. It's not going the way I want it. I'm just not going to do it no more. And I think God sometimes picks me up by the back of my neck and says, time out. You need more time in with me. Get in the corner and read. Get in the corner and pray. And I know what some of you are saying. Some of you are saying, but wait, Greg, you don't understand. I'm right. I'm entitled to that. No, if those two feelings are in the same body, then you aren't. Or you wouldn't be that way. So I have to tell myself sometimes, when I'm just agitated and full of anxiety, what's wrong? God, what have you done wrong that has caused this anxiety to come into my system? And he's up there going, I don't think it's quite like that. So I need to readjust. I need to blow off the dirt off my spiritual glasses and step out of the darkness. And the best way to step out of the darkness is to allow more light to come in, because they can't be in the same room together. Now, all of that was free. And I want you to turn back into November Because numbers, you don't want to go to November. Numbers. 13. You've seen the movie. Moses is getting ready to free them by God's power from 400 years of slavery. Now here's the background story real quick. Numbers 13 and 14. In the book of Numbers, God had promised these free slaves a homeland of their own. And he calls it the Promised Land. Okay, we all know that. He's promised them this. Now, this is a series that is preempting. I don't know if preempting is the right word, but it sounds good, so I'll use it anyway. I have to look up what it means. It's preluding. It's coming before our Exodus in this building. So it is a series that I want us to start navigating where we are emotionally, personally, relationally, but most important, spiritually. Because we have no idea what God has in store for us on the other side of these doors, but we know it's going to be something grand because God's in control of it. Don't ask me to do it because I'll mess it up. I already have. He's going to do it. He says, I'm going to set you free from Egypt. I'm going to take you to the Promised Land. It represented their future. It represented the inheritance that God wanted them to enjoy. It would become the land of Israel. And after crossing the desert, they've gone through the Red Sea. Crossing the desert, all these free slaves, they came to the edge of the Promised Land. And you know what happens? Moses has a business meeting and gets 12 of the buildings and grounds people, or trustees, or deacons, or just the vision committee. Do you remember the vision committee we had?
Yes.
Do you remember? This is one of those stories that one day when we're over there about 5 years and we're wearing that place out, we're getting ready to build another one, we're going to say, I'll tell you what, I remember this. I remember, I don't know if those that are on the vision committee remember this or not. We walked into this building first. This was the first building the vision committee said, hey, I think we want you to look at this, Pastor. So we all came. They were full, playing skee ball in here, pinball, doing whatever in the back, batting cages and all that. Matter of fact, I got my door dinged. Parking in the parking lot that day. It still has the ding on the driver's side. Somebody slammed it. One of the guys here that was playing a game or something, a high school kid or whatever. I remember all this like it was yesterday. It was years ago. I walked in, and I believe it was Vanessa, said, isn't this great? And I said, no. And I turned around and walked out. No, we can't. No. So they all said, oh, okay. We looked around. We went around back and looked. I don't know if we walked the golf course or not, but it's just like, no. A year and some later, after we checked out every other place, you remember the place out at Hobby Airport? Well, we had a prayer service there. Nancy, I remember you were, Red mentioned something about that day. He made a comment that day in that building. I remember that vividly. And it was like, no, this. We thought that was the place. Do you remember me and my stupidity of calling everybody to the mansions on the other side, over there on the other side of 288? I literally called Junior that morning and said, Junior, I am standing in the middle of our new church. He said, where are you at? I said, I'm in this place called the mansion. I said, they have a swimming pool in here. There's like 40 rooms in this place. I can see this place being ours. They all came out, the majority of them came out and said, Greg, are you crazy? And I said, you know, I think maybe I am. This isn't it. And then eventually, we made the full circle through all those different stops, came back to to this place. And I walked in. I said, hey, this is perfect. Why didn't we do this first time around? And they all reminded me, Sharon, because of you, Greg. But it wasn't right the first time in my mind. And I'm not saying I was right or wrong. But we would have added another 12 to 14 months to our endurance if it wasn't. But I thought it was interesting how things can change with time in the vision. And I think things changed with time in the vision of this. And I want you, as we look at this story, and find out if you don't have a clear vision, what some of the things that you're going to step into. Okay, I'm looking at the time. That I want us to be obedient to not our plan, but what God has planned for us. Because probably everybody in this room says, great, he already has this figured out. But huddle up. I don't. It's just like the guy, the actor on TV in a commercial. I'm not a doctor. I just play one on TV. I don't have the clear vision yet. I just play one in front of you every Sunday. God has the vision. All I know is I need to take this step when he says it. This step when he says it. And just asking you that when he tells us to take the step, we all follow together. Because I'm not clear. But I know it's going to be awesome. And would you want anything less than what his perfect plan is? No, we can take a survey right now and probably unanimous. No way. No, Greg, we want what God wants. But does anybody have the exact plan? No. Well, who does? Him. That's why we're following him. That's why we're looking for our vision through him. So when I get agitated, when I get, well, why not? Why can't this be done today? I need to remember that I'm not the one in charge. He is. And to honor him through that and to not force my will, because it'll end up being the wrong vision. And believe you me, you don't want my vision. You want his. Numbers 13, verse 17. Jump to that. He has a business meeting. He sends the 12 people out. He says, go and look at this promised land. Come back and report exactly everything you see. Okay, you know the story. You know the story. Numbers 13, 17 goes like this. Moses gave the men these instructions as he sent them out to explore the new land. Go northward through Negev, however you want to pronounce it, into the hill country and see what that land is like. And find out whether the people are Pentecostals or Methodists. No, are living there are strong or weak. Few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or is it bad? Do the towns have walls? Are they unprotected? How's the soil? Is it fertile or poor? How many trees? A lot of them. Enter the land boldly and bring back samples of the crops you see. Now this gets really interesting, so I want you to just hang here with me. I'll make sure I don't miss a verse. Verse 21. So they sent spies in, and they spied out the land, all the way from the wilderness up to Hebron, and there they saw. You ready for this? The Ammonites, the Shishites, the Talmites, the Termites, all the mites were there. All the families that descended from Anak. Then they came of the valley of Eshcol, and they cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they carried it between two of them on a pole, and they also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. when they came to Eshol, he cut down this cluster of grapes so large that it took two of them to carry it back on the pole. Can you imagine that? Jump down to verse 25. They returned from spying out the land after 40 days. After seeing the land. Okay? After seeing the land. After the vision. After going in and looking at all the different elements that Moses told them to look at. Write this down. The soil looks like this. The people look like this. This is what it looks like. Okay? For 40 days, the men returned to Moses and Aaron and the people of Israel, waiting at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen, and they showed them the fruit that they had taken from the land. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty promising to me. But there's a problem. And the problem has to do with their vision. The problem had nothing to do with the land, nothing to do with the grapes, nothing to do with the walls or the towns or the soil or anything else that Moses had on the list. It had to do with their vision. And they get together and they are probably eating the grapes and the pomegranates. So this is the best stuff we've ever had. And, you know, cluster grapes being carried by two. I can't even imagine that. But I mean, those must be a dandy cluster. I could just kind of see it, though. You know, carrying these big old, and where did you get those? Those are like, you know, basketballs. But they had basketballs back then. But the problem was with the vision. I want you to see this. 12 of the spies went. 10 come back, and you know the story. And they had a vision of fear, agitation. Ain't no way. We cannot handle this. They didn't have the vision of faith. I have had, and I could point at people in this building that has told me, there's no way we can afford that. There's no way. There's no way. When I came up with the wild hair, when this thing was for sale next door. In the middle of this, Jack, can we buy this? This is a great opportunity. We can't let this go by. Let's just give it a shot and see what the people want to do. I had several people call me. Greg, are you crazy? There's no way we can afford it. And you know my response? You're absolutely right. But God can. And that's exactly what this is. And Mike, when I get down and out, I just don't think I can't do it. I don't want to become the 10. Because we get into that 10 category a lot. Only 2 out of the 12. So I want you to know, it's all right to be in the minority when you're following God and His vision. So I'm assuming that the 2 said, hey, wait. When the 10 were going, we look like grasshoppers to these people. They were just waiting to devour us and go to kill us. These guys are giants. We're just nothing in front of them. So I imagine when the other 2 said, hey, wait. We can do this. God told us to do this. We can handle this. We have a different story. And I want you to see, and I'm going to get to this point, then we're probably going to have to repeat this, or not repeat it, but continue on next week. What happens when you look at your future? Write this down. What happens when you look at your future in fear instead of faith? Okay, what happens? I'm going to give you a couple, 2 or 3 to write down. So write that down. What happens when you look at your future with fear instead of faith? Stay in Numbers 13, jump down to verse 27. Are all still with me? Can we do okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 27. This was their report to Moses. This is the secretary's report at the conference. All in favor of the meeting minutes? This is the meetings. This is the minutes. We arrived in the land you sent to us to see, and indeed, the Williams version, it's dandy. It's a hoot. Officially, it's a magnificent country. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's some of the fruit as proof. But, circle your butt in scripture right there. I know, six people just shook their heads, I'm sorry. Circle the butt in scripture. But the people living there are powerful, and their cities and towns are fortified, and they're very large, and they have a supply of Wheaties. And we also saw the Anakim, the descendants of Anak, who lived in the desert. When your life and your future happens to look at it with fear, the first thing you do is you overemphasize the negatives. When you look at your vision and your vision is focused on fear instead of faith, you will always, always walk into the room and notice everything wrong. Instead of those things that's right. Do you live with somebody like this? I live alone, so I do this to myself now. So I want you to see that, because we overemphasize the negative. And when you overemphasize the negative, let me tell you, it immediately fills your stress tank up to overflowing, because you can't get that out of your mind. All you see is the negative. You know what I see? I see how God can turn something so negative into something so positive. And I am living proof of that in my own life. If He can do it with something like me, He can do it with something like you. If He can do that kind of work in people in rehab, that He can do it with somebody like me. If He can do it in a body, don't you think He can do it in a wall? Don't you think He can do it in what some of you all say, a tent? Whose idea was the tent? I get that all the time. It was the vision committee's. Well, you voted for it. It was my idea, but I forget that. I erased that. I got some white out in my mind. It's my fault. Second thing I want you to see, jump down to verse 29. The Amalekites live in Negeb, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live in the sea, near the sea along the Jordan River. The second trap, I pay too much attention when I live and have a vision of fear instead of faith. I pay too much attention on what other people are doing instead of me. So I focus on the negative, and I also start focusing on everybody else and what they're doing. And how, even though it's not my calling, I'm going to go over here and just tell you how you should do it. I'm going to go over here and say, Jackie, done that wrong. Let me tell you. Now, there's days that you just want to take off your tool belt and go, I tell you what, here you go. You do it. Congratulations, you're the chairman of the committee now. But we focus on that. So when that starts happening, you end up having a vision of fear instead of faith, and you start noticing all the negatives, and you start overemphasizing everything of what other people are doing. Hang with me. Because he goes right on down. He's drawing a map. Moses, these people are here. These people live south of Pearland. These people live north of Houston. And these people down there in Bay Area, boy, they're just crazy bigger. Are you kidding me? And look at what they're all doing. They're going to whip us. We're going to go bankrupt. We'll never be able to eat that food because they're going to just not allow us. They won't even give us the crumbs off their table. Number three. Numbers 13:31. We can't attack those people because they are stronger than us. Circle, we can't. The third trap that we see from this story, when we look at the future with fear instead of faith, we will always underestimate the abilities that God gave us. So you focus on the negatives, you start watching other people around you, and then you underestimate what God can do through us. We can't win. We're outnumbered. We can't win. The bank says no. We can't win. The constructor walked off. We can't win. This happened. We can't win. They'll never permit this building. We can't win. Oh, flush it. Have faith. Stop having your vision on fear. Because that's what it ends up doing, and it builds up all these things. And let me tell you, I get in this boat every now and then. Look what Job says in 325. Job 325. What I have always feared has happened to me. And what I have dreaded has now come to be. Last thought, I'm done. And then we'll finish the rest of it later. Verse 32 and 33, the land we explore devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are great size. We saw giants. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And we looked the same to them. Well, I wish I could just let you go and say, okay, we got out close to time. Did you read that verse? We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. Their vision was cluttered, was cloudy. The fourth trap of vision with fear instead of faith is I will infect other people with my negativity. Because look in verse 32. They spread a bad report about the land they had just explored. Now, when we turn the page and turn the corner, it's going to be important that we look, so make sure you come back next week, because we're going to look about all those things that we need to have with our own vision in our own life. This is all important, because if you turn to chapter 14, same book, 1 and 2, it says, then all the people began weeping aloud. They cried all night. They grumbled. They complained. It was a great chorus against their leaders. Moses, the guy that led them out of slavery, against their leaders, Moses and Aaron, and they said, we wish we would have died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness. Are you kidding me? They wail. How could you have put us in this place, Moses? We can't do this now. We should have just died. We should have just locked the doors and threw the keys at the seminary president and say, there, it's your building, we're gone, are you happy now? We're out of here. We're done. We're going strong. We are alive and well on planet Earth. In a building that wasn't what we dreamed of, but in a building what God dreamed of. In a place, in a community. Because I want to tell you what, I would prefer to have a religious banner to be what we are, but to have the relationship under the banner that we had in our worship service 30 minutes ago in a building like this than being in the fanciest auditorium in this country and it'd be dead. Because folks, we had church. We have love. We have friendship and fellowship. And that's what it's all about. We're going to find out some interesting things that happen next week, because I'm going to stop here because I'm losing some of you. Some of you are getting hungry. I can hear your stomachs growling. As we get to that point of now what? You're all grumbling. You're all saying, Greg, you're nuts. You're nuts. Oh, Moses, you're nuts. You see some similarities? Yeah. Moses didn't get to see the promised land. I hope I get to see the promised land. But if not, I get to feel it on this side of the border. And it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. Have you been in that mode lately? I have. To be honest with you, every time I see certain people's names come up on the phone, it's like, uh-oh. It's kind of like when he's a parent. My phone would go and, hello, Greg Williams? Yeah. This is Raccoon Grade School. We have Matt in our office today. What did he do now? You get that? And you wonder. And I remember getting that. Craig? We have Matt in our office. And that Matt's response was, should I come down and whip him now or later? He just won a story contest that he wrote. We'd like for you to come down to the assembly. And you go, wait. God had a plan. It wasn't worthless. It wasn't nothing. God has a game plan. I don't know where I'm going with this. I know I need to shut her down. Where are you at in the 12? Let's just end it at that. We'll put you in with the 12, and then we'll talk next week and put you someplace else. Are you in the 10? Naysayers? Are you in the 2 that say, wow, they're big, but our God's bigger? We can take them. We have this. And to be honest with you, hello, the hard part's already over. The hard part is already over. It's starting to ease up now. It's starting to get better. We're getting smoother. I'm seeing it on the horizon. We're making plans on what's going to be handed out on that first day. I talked to Eddie about what he's going to be blowing on the trumpet. We're starting to, it's getting close. It's getting close. So we've been there. Keep the faith. Don't give up the boat now. Hang there and grip it. Last story. I'll put this up, because if not, I'll end up preaching more. And I know we went long. Michael, I don't even know if we're live anymore, but if we are, okay. I went to Austin to do a wedding Friday. I left about 4, 4:30. The worst storm I have ever been in a long time. About 4, 4:30, 5 o'clock, Houston got, they just picked up the boot and just poured it on Houston. I was hydroplaning everywhere and I thought, oh no, I got to get to Austin because you know me, the wedding was at 10:30 and I had to be there 2 hours early to make sure everything is all right, you know me. And as I was hydroplaning, it ran through my mind, when we get in difficulty, what do? When it starts raining on us, in that situation of driving down the highway, Highway 10, I tried to bypass it, but I ended up bypassing most of it because of the construction. As it was pouring on me, my hands hurt by the time I got to Austin because I was gripping the wheel so tight to make sure that I wasn't going to hydroplane off anything else, but I wasn't going to slow down for nothing. So I was 75, 80 in this storm, hydroplaning all over the world. It was just wonderful. So I thought, okay, and when you are in life and all hell breaks loose on you and it is storming and the water is pouring, do you hang on to the wheel tighter or do you go, hup, can't do it, and back away? That would have been absolutely crazy for me to do that. But I dug in. And I said, nothing's going to let me be late at this thing. I'm going to be there for this couple that wants me to do this for them. I'm going to be there. So I hung on tighter. When the rain hits you in the face, when it smears your mascara and it messes up your hair, you do nothing but hang on to the wheel tighter. Don't you give up the ship. And don't you take your eyes off where you're headed. And that's straight towards Jesus. He hasn't changed the plan. He hasn't changed the vision. Just wake up and smell the coffee and hang on tight and let's go for the rest of the ride. And I promise you, that hill at the very end of the roller coaster is the highest and the longest up that hill. But when we get to the top, he's going to say, go on in. And Eddie's going to blow the horn, and we're going to go down and experience an adventure that we have never been able to experience before as a church family. And I'm not willing to give up the wheel. Hang on tight. Dear Lord, we come to you right now and thank you for who you are. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your vision. And Lord, I repent when my vision gets focused on something else. Give me an attitude adjustment. Correct me. Wake me up to what, Lord, I need to do in these situations. Is not give up, not curl up like a baby and in an infant state and just curl up at the floor and go, I just can't do this anymore. Lord, grit my teeth more. Hang on. Pray. Spend more time in your word. Lord, show us. Fill our tanks up to overflowing. Because, Lord, we're going to finish this journey. And we're not going back. We give you all the praise. This was for me, so thank you, Lord. It was for other people. I hope they received it as well. We give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being online with us. We'll see you next week, 10 o'clock, next Sunday morning, for another edition of Face Springs Live. God bless you.